From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, January 30th. I'm Abby Larico. Some attorneys across the St. Louis region are helping immigrants to ensure their children will stay with people they know should the parents be deported.
Many of them, their children are U.S. citizens. So what they're facing is if both mom and dad get deported, what happens to their kids?
St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson spoke with one area attorney about how she's helping immigrant families prepare. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. A Missouri group that provides refugee services is preparing to replace its federal funding with community donations. That's following an attempted funding freeze from the White House. President Donald Trump's administration issued a memo this week that would pause some federal funding and grant programs. It rescinded the memo yesterday, but some groups are still unclear about whether they would be impacted by future funding reviews. Leitz Main is the executive director of the Catholic Charities of Central and Northern Missouri. She says the group's refugee program is funded mostly by federal dollars.
We are going to call for everybody to help us provide some care to these refugees that at the end of the day are our neighbors.
Maine says her group's refugee program costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to operate each year. And in the last year, they've helped resettle more than 135 refugees. A Washington, D.C. judge temporarily blocked the original order Tuesday. The Trump administration announced Wednesday it was rescinding the total spending freeze, but they are still considering future budgetary measures. A local congresswoman says she's relieved the freeze on federal funds is off the table. Illinois Democrat Nikki Budzinski represents much of the Metro East. She says she remains concerned about how President Trump acted and says Congress should always have a conversation about government spending.
I think that is a very worthy conversation to have. But what you can have is a conversation on the back end after these funds have been committed and promised to communities.
Budzinski says many social services across the 13th Congressional District were put on hold because of Trump's order. St. Clair County got a nearly $90 million grant from the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development for flood relief. Budzinski was in Belleville to talk about the grant. She and local officials say it will be delivered, but the freeze did have them concerned. A possible cut in funding for school meals would leave more than 900,000 children without free breakfast and lunch in the Midwest and Great Plains. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports.
A school meal program is on a list of potential cuts for an upcoming budget bill in D.C. The program is called the Community Eligibility Provision. It allows school districts with a high concentration of students in poverty to give all of their kids free meals. Hancock Place School District in St. Louis uses the program, but wouldn't be eligible under the proposed cut. Superintendent Kevin Carl is calling on lawmakers to find savings elsewhere.
When students are fed and they're healthy and they're well, then they're going to be best positioned to be successful with their academics and really do well at school and thrive.
The proposal would cut $3 billion from the program across the country. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
President Trump's pick to lead the Environmental Protection Agency says he will prioritize the cleanup of the Westlake landfill in Bridgeton. The site was contaminated with Manhattan Project nuclear waste in the 1970s. Senator Josh Hawley asked Lee Zeldin to commit to that in writing. Zeldin also said he would visit St. Louis to see Westlake. Here's Senator Hawley.
He needs to see the site itself to understand the significance here. And he also needs to see EPA's failure. I mean, EPA has not done their job for decades now.
The Senate confirmed Zeldin Wednesday. Hawley voted for Zeldin's nomination. Missouri could ban child marriage this legislative session. As St. Louis Public Radio's Evie Lewis tells us, Senate Bill 66 would raise the minimum age of marriage from 16 to 18.
Several women who were married as teenagers testified in favor of the bill. Since married teenagers do not have the legal rights of adults, it's far more difficult to get a divorce or access other resources if they're abused. Sheena Eastburn, who was married when she was 15, was convicted of killing her abusive husband after her attempts to divorce him or run away from home failed. She was released from prison in 2017.
They said I was emancipated, but I wasn't. I still had no rights because I was not 18. I could not escape.
The same measure passed the Senate last year, but died in the House when some Republicans argued it would constitute governmental overreach. In Jefferson City, I'm Evie Lewis, St. Louis Public Radio.
A St. Louis Civil Service Commission hearing to recommend whether Mayor Tashara Jones should fire Personnel Director Sonia Jenkins Gray will continue next week, with the possibility of city officials being subpoenaed to testify. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports.
The hearing stems from a July 2024 incident in which Jenkins Gray took a city vehicle to Jefferson City with another department worker to get personal documents. Jenkins Gray said she didn't know she was breaking city policy and paid the city back the $170 cost of the trip. Ronald Norwood is Jenkins Gray's lawyer. He argues the mayor has targeted her for political reasons and now wants a few city officials, including the comptroller and city councilor, to testify.
This is corruption at the very top of this government. It ain't easy, and we ain't expecting it to be easy. But what we do expect is have the opportunity to present those witnesses under oath.
Norwood wanted Jones to testify, but the commission declined to subpoena her. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
The fate of former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan is officially in the hands of a federal jury. This is after week-long closing arguments in his federal corruption trial wrapped Wednesday afternoon. Capital News Illinois reports the government got the last word, with the lead prosecutor calling Madigan and his co-defendant, quote, grand masters of corruption. The feds allege Madigan and longtime Springfield lobbyist Mike McLean ran a criminal enterprise engaging in bribery to enhance the speaker's power while enriching their allies. During the three-month-long trial, attorneys called more than 60 witnesses and introduced hundreds of secret recordings. In a surprise move, Madigan took the witness stand in his own defense earlier this month, though prosecutors used sections of that testimony in their closing arguments, claiming he lied to the jury. Some attorneys in the St. Louis region are helping immigrants and people without legal status prepare family emergency plans and legal documents in case they're deported. This follows President Donald Trump issuing executive orders for federal agents to begin enhanced immigration enforcement. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson spoke with one area attorney who says she's doing what she can to help.
On a typical day, Marlene Menendez Suarez's law office is pretty relaxed. She's usually in court or working on criminal defense and civil rights cases. But her office has been chaotic since she published a Facebook post on January 20th about documents for people living in the U.S. without legal status to keep their kids safe.
People are very afraid. And they're very afraid for their children because many of them, their children are U.S. citizens. So what they're facing is if both mom and dad get deported, what happens to their kids?
Suarez's law office in Fairmont City, Illinois is jam-packed. And it's mostly women standing or sitting with children in the front waiting area or in the back, which is typically the break room and kitchen for employees. Children are playing with toys, some parents are chatting, while others are trying to be calm, but their faces show concern. They're all waiting for Suarez to go over and sign their guardianship and power of attorney documents because the fear of deportation is looming. And all of this work is pro bono.
I think it's given them some peace of mind knowing that their children will go to people that they chose. And I know that the foster care system is not equipped to handle these children, and it would be a disaster for both the system and the kids.
Suarez's clients over the past few days have been mostly Mexican, and she's been working nonstop for them. She even has volunteers to help people fill out intake forms and translate. Fairmont City is about 6 miles east of downtown St. Louis. It's home to more than 2,300 people, and nearly 70% of the population is from Mexico. Years ago, many immigrants and people without legal status settled into the city to work at a now-shuttered zinc plant. The community is now filled with small business owners and construction and warehouse workers. The news of deportation in cities across the country has people like Genesis on edge. That's why she came to Suarez's law office.
So for my other daughter, her dad signed a, for the passport, to get the passport out, he signed the, could that work for something?
Yeah, St. Louis Public Radio isn't using Genesis' last name because she fears deportation. Genesis has been living in the Metro East since she was a child. She says right now, the community is scared.
You know, most of them have a lot of years here. A lot of them didn't think of going back to their to Mexico or to their country. So a lot of them don't have houses over there. So they're afraid that they're going to go over there and they won't have, you know, where to live.
But Genesis is prepared if she encounters immigration agents. Getting her kids' guardianship forms was the last step in preparing her family's legal documents. She says talking to her children about deportation is painful, but they know their rights.
I've been telling my son and my daughter, like in case of some like immigration ICE goes, you know, to school, to tell them that they're American citizen, tell them where they were born.
Close encounters with agents are picking up in local, highly populated Hispanic areas, even Fairmont City.
I'm sorry. Give me the paperwork.
While families were waiting in Suarez's law office, she received a reliable tip.
ICE is here. ICE is in the area.
And Suarez was ready. She has protocols in place for incidents like this. The office basically shut down for about 15 minutes. Everyone sat quietly as we waited for phone confirmation that agents were no longer down the street. And once it came, business resumed as usual.
If you guys feel safe here, you're welcome to stay.
Suarez is among a few attorneys and immigrant organizations in the region that are hosting emergency plan sessions privately or on Zoom. They all have the same agenda: to help families navigate the immigration system and keep children with citizenship safe. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.